by my side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Ray Guarino and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Here, relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! With mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track, barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Eat, Ray Guarino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway sign. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Even!
She keeps a Moët Chandon in a pretty cabinet. Let the meat cake, she says, just like Marie Antoinette. A building, a remedy for Khrushchev and Kennedy. At a time of limitation, you can't decline. Caviar and cigarettes.
And you may wonder why the surreptitious Queen entrance today. Because on Motormouth Radio with your host Ray Guarino and co-host Joe D., we have the pleasure of having our good, longtime old friend Gerard from PA in the studio. And, of course, Gerard, I think, wrote the lyrics to this song. So, Gerard, so good to see you.
God, it's great to see you, too.
Yeah, welcome.
Here we are, of course.
Nice for you to come up and say hi.
On Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only car radio talk show here on Long Island on Sundays, or any day for that matter. You want to call us, you can get in on this. Do it quick at 151. If you're out of the calling area, dial 1-516-572-7440.
Or just yell out the window.
Check us on MotormouthRadio.com, on iHeartRadio, or Performance Motorsports Network for replays and downloads of the show. I said do it soon because at the quarter hour after our first break, we should be having Mr. Steve Magnante.
Yes, that ought to be cool.
Right.
A noted automotive authority with all kinds of stuff. Not to mention he's on Barrett Jackson.
He is one of the lead commentators at Barrett Jackson, and he keeps quite busy. So Steve has granted us some time again. We get him in every few months. He's one of the guys we keep in rotation. And he's granted us an interview today, so we should be speaking with him a little later. Jeez. Help me here.
I think it's time we get your watch off of that. We got to get Mickey sobered up there.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, really.
All right. So, Gerard, we talk a lot about you on the show. I bring you up quite often, as you know, because you listen. So now's your chance to get back at us for everything we've done.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, no problem. You know, last week we were talking about alignments, and I mentioned how I had my car into Tire Town, good old Joe, just a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
And they had the computerized alignment machine. And we did talk about that a little bit, but I see
The flashy thing.
Somebody does want to get in on this, so we will go to the phones and say, hi, you're on with the Motormouths.
Speaking of alignment, are you guys aligned?
We are somewhat.
Ray. No, hey. We're rather skewed at the moment. Then again, I failed geometry.
What's happening, Rob?
Well, funny thing you should mention about alignments, because I've gotten back to the Mustang restoration, and that's what I'm working on. I'm working on the front end, so pulled everything down, okay, cleaned everything up, replaced a lot of parts, et cetera, and pretty soon, you know, it's going to be time to align the thing.
Yes.
So, you know, it's wild when you pull all this stuff apart and you see, like, you know, all the, and what they used as alignment shims, you know, to go and put this thing all together, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty wild stuff. But in doing so, in taking this thing apart, you know, restoring this car, right? And, you know, you have all your catalogs. You have your, you know, well, I don't want to mention any names, but you have all your different restoration catalogs. And I'm going through these things, paging through, and I see that all the front end parts, you know, they're kind of pricey. And then I'm thinking to myself, well, you know, these cars are still relatively current. And when you go to your local auto parts store or auto parts stores online, this stuff, a lot of this stuff is still available. So you don't necessarily need to go through a restoration catalog to go and pick it up. I'll give you a great example.
Uh-huh.
The lower control arm, the upper control arm, through a restoration catalog, $75.
Why, yeah.
Through an online, you know, auto parts store, $24.
And that's probably with bushings and ball joints.
Yeah, yeah. And actually, you know, I was going to do the purest way. I was going to go and, you know, get my ball joints and my bushings and press them all out and whatever. And I'm seeing the prices of these things, you know, and then when I get it all apart, I see that they're replacement arms anyway. And I'm thinking to myself, well, you know, why do I want to go through? It's going to be just as expensive to go and get the ball joints and the bushings and then all that labor.
Mm-hmm.
Just buy the damn arm and be done with it. You know?
Correct, yes.
Exactly.
You agree with that, Gerard?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You buy the whole setup, easy slap in, ready to go.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, and this will help to expedite the project, you know, because you're not spending money unnecessarily, you know, as far as the additional cost.
So what are the issues that you're having with the alignment, Rob? You think you're going to have trouble with that, or is it going to be a straightforward deal, do you think?
I'm hoping it's going to be straightforward, but my question to you about alignments, and unfortunately, you know, I only caught you at the tail end of your broadcast last week. I wanted to ask you about alignment shops that, you know, that actually work on the older cars.
Okay.
You know, the newer vehicles, you know, you got all kinds of cams and adjusters and all that stuff. It makes it fairly easy. But way back when, you know, there you're talking, you know, shims and a lot of voodoo and, you know, to make the things go straight.
So, Gerard, you could address that's the voodoo that you do, or you did.
I used to do.
Yeah,
right.
I can tell you this, Rob. With a car that's a stock suspension, there should be no problem because they can get that out of the archive, or, you know, it's known data. When I brought my car in, I had put everything in aftermarket in the front end, so I actually brought the suggested alignment specs from the manufacturer and handed them to the guy and said, "This is what I want you to do."
That's a GTO, right?
Yeah. But or any car that has aftermarket stuff. But in your case, where it's original, they should be able to pull it up for a 64 Mustang, and, you know, it should be, you know, it's known stuff.
Yeah, that's very easy to find.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's good to know. And this way, you know, we can get that going, whatever. You know what it is? I'm at that point now where, you know, I had to take a little break from it. You know, other things came along.
Yep.
But now that, you know, I've moved back into the restoration, you know, project, and I'm at a point now where I want to go and get the suspension all taken care of, both front and back, so I can drop it back on all fours, pull the motor and tranny, and then this way I can finish up the restoration of the engine compartment because I, you know, I'm starting at the front and moving toward the back, right?
Right, right.
So, you know, all the sheet metal work, the cowl, the inner and outer cowl, that's all done, the floorboards and whatever have you, the kick panels, section of frame on the driver's side that needs to be replaced, that's all done.
Mm-hmm.
So there's just a little bit of metal work, you know, in the engine bay area I have to do, but I can't do it until I get the motor out.
Right.
So...
Well, that's it, you know, and having a plan like that, having a plan and sticking to it, or at least, having a plan is paramount. You don't have to stick to it, because sometimes the plan changes for one reason or another, but then you make a new plan. And that's why a lot of guys get swamped, because they can't formulate that plan, and they just take everything apart, or they're working on too many things at once. You have to kind of concentrate.
That's a good way to get messed up. That's a great way to make it a...
Yeah.
Pool toy holder in the garage.
Exactly.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, you know, your best friend when it comes to restoring a car, all right, is a big box of sandwich bags, okay, and gallon, you know, bags, you know, freezer bags, mm-hmm. and a Sharpie.
Yep.
Okay.
Bag and tag it.
Yeah, and a notebook, all right, so that you can, you know, you bag, tag, and then you put it away in a box, and you know. Put a number on the bag and then put it in the box, because you're going to have maybe 3, 4, 5 boxes.
Oh, yeah. And
so when you
let's not forget the digital camera.
Get out of my head. You did it again.
Yeah, I was thinking that.
Yeah.
Or
let me tell you something.
These wires,
you know, camera phone is paramount when you're doing a restoration or your digital camera. Absolutely.
Right. I mean, we used to have to make drawings. And back before that, I think my grandfather used a chisel and a stone, you know.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. You know, when the Polaroid camera came out, it was like a godsend, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And now you can use your cell phone for it.
Do it all the time, yeah.
That's exactly it. You can reference it immediately, just take it off your hip, and what did I do here? Oh, yeah.
Right.
You know. But the restoration project is moving along nice, you know.
Good.
And I saved a ton of money just by going to the different websites that have the parts currently. You know, these restoration sites are great, you know, for, you know, the different companies. They're great for all the parts you need. But, you know, being the astute restorer, you don't want to, you know, spend money unnecessarily, you know.
No, of course not.
Yeah, right. So what you're going to do is you're going to look to find those parts in the regular marketplace, all right, where you can get them inexpensively. And then, of course, the stuff you can't normally get, like the little, you know, A-2, you know, -24 bolt, you know, or whatever the case may be, with the special head design that came on that particular car, you know, that's That's what their restoration shops are known for. That's
right.
That's a great resource. Or that stupid little bracket that, you know, that you know, you found under the seat, you know, past the popcorn that's been there for 40 years.
Well,
you know?
Or you could do, one of the things I did is I got myself a vibratory tumbler, and I took all those bolts, threw them in a tumbler. They reconditioned like brand new. You give them a spritz of black paint, and now you got the original bolts going back in the car.
Yeah. Assuming, of course, they haven't, you know, fallen down the sewer grade.
Right. You have to have them to do
it. Fill out the hole in the floorboard over the years. You know, but sometimes you got to get new ones.
Right, exactly. You know? And in that case, I was able to buy the complete front end bolt kit, the washer bolts and all that cool stuff, for like $60 in black oxide. So, but if you can't get it, you can restore the bolts too. You can restore the hardware. I find that very relaxing. You know.
What's that, the drone of your tumbler?
No, I'm actually sitting there on a wire wheel, cleaning the threads and then painting, and I actually enjoy doing it. It's kind of like I get to put my brain in neutral for a minute and just kind of let my hands do some work and listen to the music, and I like that.
That's mental therapy is what that is.
Yes.
Put the music on, let the wire wheel spin, and, you know.
Right.
And breathe in all that dust.
All right, Rob. We're going to let the wire wheel spin. We're going to talk to Gerard a bit and then take Steve's call coming up very shortly. So we're going to run.
Okay, you guys have a great afternoon. I'll be talking to you.
All right, thanks, Rob.
Take care.
Ray, I'll send you pictures of the rest, though. Speak to you later, guys.
Okay.
Take care.
Thanks, Rob. Bye. Ah, yes, very good. Restoration. Gerard, you're doing restorations on mostly motorcycles these days.
Yeah, the old Hondas.
Yeah.
The 1970s and I did some of the 80s stuff, but I like the 70s stuff.
How would you equate, because you've done plenty of car work in your day, too, how would you equate motorcycle restorations to car restorations?
Well, if you get frustrated, you can walk away and you don't have to worry about driving the car the next day.
Well, it's easier to stick it in a corner, too, because it's got two wheels and it's smaller.
Yes. But if you wind up with too many of them.
But you've gotten bit like we all have with now, like a master cylinder rebuild kit for a Honda.
Yes.
I mean, there's nothing in there. There's a little cup, a spring, a washer, a piece of metal. And you say, okay, these parts on the table look like they're worth like $1.380, $2. And what have you paid for stuff like that?
You pay probably close to $50, $60, just for a little plastic cup.
I remember when a Holley four barrel rebuild kit hit $50, I hit the roof, and at least that was enough parts for a four barrel.
Yeah.
But let's do this quick. We'll go back to the phones and say hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, Ray, it's the Bronc. I know you're on short for time, so I got two quick things for you.
All right, go.
A gentleman was talking about alignments on the early Mustang.
Mm-hmm.
One thing he ought to look into, on a low control arm, they make a cam kit. It makes the alignment a lot easier. It's just a bolt with a set of cams, and it moves that frame in and out without putting a pry bar and push it against the bolt. It's a relatively inexpensive to get a perfect square alignment.
Nice. Good to know.
All right. Second thing is, on the newer cars, where they have camber also, a lot of the manufacturers don't have specs for camber. When the cars gets old, especially on the GMs or the Fords, they sell the same thing. It's a camber kit. It's just a bolt. You take out the top bolt of the strut, you put it in, it's a cam, and it'll give you a really square alignment and track that car perfectly beautiful.
Excellent. Good advice. Good to know, Bronc. Thank you for that.
All right. And one fast one, your buddy over there, he does restorations on old Hondas.
Yes.
Give him my number if he's interested. My buddy has a bike shop. He has over 500 NOS Honda parts from 1975 to 1980.
Wow.
I have a 75 Gullwing I'm doing a restoration on now.
Gerard's got a garage full of them.
What? Oh, okay. So these are all NOS, still in the original boxes. So that's the story.
Oh, wow.
Bronc, I will give him your information because I'm sure that that could be beneficial to him. Yes.
Right, so it might help out.
Okay.
I know you got to run. You got a call. Have a great one. I'll talk to you. You guys take care.
Thanks, Bronc.
Bye.
All right, excellent. See, Gerard made a connection. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll get Steve in a few minutes. So hang on. More Motor Mouth Radio with Ray and Joe and Gerard in a few minutes. Hang on.
It's me, your heart. High blood pressure is serious, and if you think I'm just going to keep ticking away, you're wrong. I can quit whenever I want, but I like my job. Just treat me better. Maybe we can do some exercise on occasion? After all, we're in this together.
Don't let your heart quit on you. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get yours to a healthy range before it's too late. Find out how at heart.org/bloodpressure. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
Let's go inside the mind of a 10-year-old.
I should have worn earrings today.
Buckle up, Sarah.
Michaela's got, like, the best earrings.
Sarah, buckle up.
I wish my name was Michaela.
We're not hitting the road until you buckle up, honey.
Oh, yeah. Seatbelt. I wonder if there's pizza expert today.
It can be tough getting through.
right, I couldn't help but crank it up in the studio, folks, because that is should be the mantra for this show. I'm in love with my car.
Oh, yes.
Aren't we all, right?
Saying that much to the middle 70s, definitely blasted that right out the windows of
the house. I was trying to figure where to put the songs. I said, we're going to come back on number two with I'm in love with my car. Oh, that's great. Got a feel for my automobile.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. String back gloves for my automobile love.
Yes.
Okay.
Hey, car guys know the lyrics, folks.
I think it's time to get the drug flashback medicine going here.
Flashback absolutely drug, great. So that was, we just mentioned, that was some really, really good advice from Bronk with the, of course, on the Ford stuff, but now on the Goldwings. It goes to show on Motor Mouth Radio, you never know where you're going to make a connection, find a piece of information you couldn't find. Gerard, this could be invaluable to you with that. How many Goldwings are in the garage right now?
Well, three old ones and...
And a new one.
And a new one.
But it's the old ones that it's going to help.
Oh, yeah. Because they've been sitting around in people's garages forever.
Right. So only on Motor Mouth Radio here with Ray Guarino, Joe D, Gerard from PA, formerly from Long Island. You can call us after Steve's call at 516-572-7440. You can use the 1 if you're out of the area code. Or you could dial 800-35... I don't know. Forget that number. That was something else. That was free parts from Lithuania. And, again, you catch us on motormouthradio.com. Or
all over the place.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
So
we're never too far. Unlucky for you people.
That's correct.
Yeah.
You are right. Yes, Joe.
No, I was...
Just, say something.
I was just hissing.
I was just hissing.
No, the back in the day, they I remember Moog having a lot of what they used to call problem solver.
Yes.
Things like the GMs, they had the offset upper control arm bar for the bushings there.
Yep.
That used to give you a couple extra degrees camber one way or the other, depending on which way you installed it.
Right.
So a lot of that stuff is just basically, I'm going to call it stock replacement, mm-hmm. that you can find in the stock replacement websites as opposed to the specialty websites, mm-hmm. which, let's face it, those are really good for them funky little screws, brackets, whatever.
You're right.
And
I think the adjunct to the Moog problem solver is the help board that we see in all the stores.
Motormite, yes.
With all those little, like, you know, the door handle for the mid-80s Chevys and all the mid-80s GMs that always break.
Yeah, the door hinge...
Bushing kits, window cranks, PCV parts, all that stuff. Yeah, it's on the help. And some of the help, I saw, the store by me has a rotating help board, so it's kind of, it's modest. But I saw one store that had a wall. They must have had everything the help has,
yeah.
A full wall. And I stood there and went, whoa, this is like...
Yeah, there's some great stuff there. You never know you want it until you need it.
You know, I go up to my auto parts store and I look on there and I take stuff to use for other applications, like those PCV, the pre-made PCV plastic hoses
those
for the
80s. Those things are a lifesaver,
I'm
yes.
I'm using that on my Pontiac now because it fits an application. It doesn't fit that application, but you can adapt it and it's a nice clean look instead of just running a hose.
Yeah. I mean, and that stuff goes bad quite a bit. As a matter of fact, out in the parking lot, I was talking to... my buddy John Rogers, we happened to meet up with, and we were laughing how he keeps a couple of those in stock in his truck.
Wow!
Between actually having to fix them on customer vehicles and his own Ford truck,
sure,
them things go bad all the time.
Actually, the one I bought was for a GM. It was for a GM pickup. I forget what the application was. It was like 88 to 90 something, and it was like 90 or 45 degree. Soft nipple, and then there was the plastic tube in between.
Yes, and trying to bend that out of conventional hose, it's really just more of an art project than anything else.
Yeah.
And just so you know, we have from our ear in the sky, Jim LaStella,
mm-hmm.
He would like to know, is there any way of calculating a proper wheel alignment if you've got aftermarket stuff on your car, aftermarket parts or whatever?
You know.
Has that something that you've ever run into?
I say you go to the manufacturer like I did, see what they say.
My reply to him was an engineering degree.
Right. Well, you know what? We're going to take an engineering degree. We're going to go back to the phones and say, hi, you're on the Motor Mouths.
Hello, Steve Mignanti here calling in, hoping to talk with Ray Guarino.
Steve, you got Ray. You have my co-host Joe to my right and our good friend Gerard sitting across from me. How are you?
Hey there.
Doing great.
How are you?
Excellent. So it's been a little while since we've had you on, and people, Steve, ask me all the time, when are you going to get that guy back on? And I said, he's slippery. He's hard to get a hold of. Yeah. But you are you're a fan favorite on Long Island, I'll tell you that.
Oh, well thanks. Great to be on the show again. Just been kind of busy. We just, as you know, wrapped up the Scottsdale auction. It was a record breaker. I mean, the house never sold cars on a Monday, but here we were, Monday through Sunday, selling cars. And, of course, you know, Steven Tyler with his Hennessy car, Justin Bieber selling his Ferrari, and, you know, Burt Reynolds doing some Trans Am activities, and it was a big show all the way around.
Yes, and, you know, people talk about that stuff, and, of course, it is noteworthy, but I started making some notes when I was watching the auction, and I noticed, like, you commented on some of the Messerschmitts and Isettas that have come across the block, which are just kind of quirky little things.
Yeah, well, you know, everything has its place. It's funny. I used to work for a Chevy dealership way back in 1986, just out of college, and they'd say that there's a butt for every seat, and they use another word for butt, but you know
right.
what I'm saying.
Right, right.
And it's true. It seems like, you know, there's a fan for almost everything made. People collect everything from, you know, Barbie dolls to barbed wire. It's true. and in the world of cars, you know, every single vehicle ever made pretty much has somebody who loves it, so why not give them all coverage?
Now, wait a minute, Steve. The way my brain works, if you take a Barbie doll and barbed wire, didn't Pam Anderson do a movie like that?
You know, I think, yeah.
Yeah, that was a movie. Yeah.
Called Barbed Wire.
Yeah.
Right. All right, just so we get that out of the way, okay? Yeah. Now, I got to tell you, I mentioned on this show a couple weeks ago when the auctions were going on, I said, you know, when I watch a TV show that's on once a week or so and I fall asleep on it, I'm really upset because I missed 10 minutes of it, I dozed off. But when I watch Barrett Jackson, honestly, I said I fall asleep on a Camaro and I wake up on a Chevelle. So it could be an hour and I feel like I really didn't miss much. And I don't mean to disparage the auction by saying that. It's just that it's become this like a marathon thing for us.
It is. It's a juggernaut. It just rolls and rolls. And I got to say, you know, being on stage, well, yeah. You know, nowadays, of course, we're on Velocity Channel. We used to be on, as you know, Speed Channel.
Mm-hmm.
And in that situation, there was more than a few times where we were slated to air before a live racing event, like Martinsville or a thing like that. Well, we used to get word sometimes, hey, guys, it's raining in Martinsville. Can you do another hour?
Stay on,
so,
yeah.
The answer was yes. So we did a couple of 13-hour days up there on that block. It only felt like 14.
Yeah.
But you just grind it out. But the good news is it's not that hard to find something to say about virtually any car if you're a car freak. So it was okay with me. And again, you know, I mean, we only do this four times a year. I wish it was 40.
Yeah.
But
that
said, it's a blast. And it goes by pretty quickly.
Well, you're on and off camera. You're not on camera all the time. But I do believe you're probably standing. I was watching that poor girl that puts the sold sticker on the cars. This girl never sat down for like hours, and I said, oh, you poor guy. I know she was wearing boots one day, and the next day, sneakers. I'm like, that was smart.
Well, that's right, yeah, the sold sticker girl, believe it or not, she actually, by the end of the event, had a little bit of a fan base. People were saying, hey, she's cute, we like her. She had leather pants on one day, and in fact, there was two of them.
Yes.
But they were pretty much aware of their role in the proceedings, and hey, it's a show, so, you know, who knows what's going to hit and what people are going to strike on. So, the sold sticker girls may be a future feature. Who knows?
Nice. Steve, let me ask, because people have asked me this all the time and asked me to ask you. They say, you know, this Steve is a smart guy. We know he knows cars in and out, but he can't know everything that he seems to know. What's the secret for knowing the stats on all of these cars, Chevy, Ford, Chrysler, of course, you know, the Mopars, but and you know, all the stuff that you pull out of a hat. How do you do it?
Well, I mean, if you watch carefully, my right hand always has the microphone. My left hand, I get a little white notepad, and it's handwritten notes that I create for myself, by myself. And the thing is, you know, like anybody else, about a week to 2 weeks before each of these auctions, the docket, the listing of the cars being sold, is online. So what I do is I get with the producers of the show and say, hey, we're on, you know, between Tuesday and Sunday, what are our lot windows? And that means, you know, what's going to be on the air. And they'll tell me, you know, Tuesday we start with lot, you know, 29 through 155. So what I'll do is basically for each one of those, I'll sit here at my house in Massachusetts weeks before the show, and I'll just basically find something to say about each car. But again, you got to do a little research because the description of the GTO, for instance, if it's got a 3-speed manual on the floor, that's weird.
Yeah.
So what I do is I make a note, okay, try to get Chevrolet chassis cam to be available to show the viewer the Saginaw or Ford TC 3-speed, depending on what year. And so I make notes to prime myself. So if you look at my left hand, I've always got a notepad. I never hide it. Never. Yeah. I always say that, hey, prepare yourself, you know, fill your library before you fill your garage. and that way, you won't make any boo-boos. But I do the same thing, because if I tried to do that on site, what would happen is the car rolls up, and we have 4 minutes to add something about the car, me and Mike and anybody else, Rick DeBruhl.
Right.
So we kind of have to be on point and pretty much almost predict what's going to happen. So I make notes, and everybody should prepare before you go into the battle, I guess.
I love it when a hot rod or a resto mod comes up, and one of the guys, Rick or someone, just say, "All right, Steve, this one's for you." give it to the guy who knows. But I just want to interject with you saying stocking your library. I just want to let you know that I don't know if you know the man personally, but Lou Santiago from Car Fix and from Muscle Car. I do a Thursday night web vlog with Lou, and I sent him a couple of books that I had, and I held up your book. I said, he says, "What's coming up on the show?" I said, "We're going to have Steve Magnante." And I held up the 1001 Muscle Car Facts, and he goes, "I want one of those." I said, "You know what? I have one left. I'll send it to you." And now Lou is in possession of your book, and he thanked me and you for that book.
Okay. I know Lou, met him a few times, but certainly know him, as we all do, as a popular personality on various shows,
right.
Good dude. And again, the Muscle Car book was fun, and it covers all the bases, but it is true, you want to make sure that, you understand what you're looking at or buying before you make the move and spend money on it. But if nothing else, just researching and learning and knowing about cars. Some people love sports, we got the Super Bowl going on tonight, and, some folks love animals, horses, whatever it might be, but, car people are some of the most passionate. And the great news is there's a massive volume of books and websites, but, books and stuff that people can buy, from everything from Messerschmitts to Mercedes to Mercuries. It's all out there waiting to be consumed and devoured, and rightfully so.
Right.
It's a lot easier to find information these days. You still got to know where to look, and you still got to take everything that you read with a grain of salt, depending on the source. But, it's not like having to pour through the library or some dealership's records, like old shop manuals and stuff like we used to have to do back in the day.
Sure.
But now there's stuff out there that you could find relatively easily.
Yeah, websites are good too. And again, one thing, as like you mentioned, good point, you want to be sure that, you get some verification, because, I won't say instant experts are everywhere, but I'm not an expert, I'm a student. I never stop learning. And, there are times when I've definitely stomped in it big, it being poop on TV, and like one case, an example was my assumption that in 1969, the Chevelle SS-396 still carried a unique VIN code. Well, it didn't. As we know, in 1966, 7, and 8, the 138 prefix, but in 69, the SS became an auction package on top of a V8 Malibu. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at the car, has 136. I'm thinking, this can't be a numbers-matching car. They say it is. I cry foul. Well, within seconds, we had 500 emails telling me that I was an idiot, and I was wrong. So it happens. So we're all students. Nobody's an expert on all this stuff. Maybe Zora Duntov or, people who were there designing it.
Even them guys. Oh,
and even so, they're an expert in what they know, in that small slice of pie of the hobby. The guys that, you're certainly well-versed and well-read in many, many areas of the car stuff. And we all pull stuff out of our back pocket that people say, "Where'd you get that from?" But we're always learning. Steve.
Yeah. The one.
I was going to say, hang on for one second. We'll take a quick break. And we come back, we're going to pick right back up. I just need about a minute. So just hang in. On Motor Mouth Radio, Steve Magnante. We're going to go back to a quick break right now. And we'll be back. Hang in and listen to the good tunes of Queen. We'll be back in a second. Hang on.
Do you like video games, movies, comics, action figures, anything nerdy? Well, have I got a deal for you. Tune in to 90.3 WHPC. Should I do that again?
Just keep going. Just continue.
Every Monday at 3 p.m. for the only radio show that covers all things nerd culture with the two most fantastic hosts in all of the galaxy, Colton Murray and Justin Greenberg. This show is out of this world galaxy. Come on down. Tune in Mondays at 3 p.m. Hey, why did my music stop?
I can't do this acting without my music.
The promo's over. Stop talking. Just play the stupid tagline.
Nirvana, Mondays at 3 p.m.
Cut it and print it. I need an aspirin.
Yes, cut it and print it back on Motormouth Radio with your host, Ray Guarino, co-host Wingman Joe D, Gerard Salmon in the studio, and Steve Magnante on the phone. Steve, thanks,
still with us?
Thanks for hanging in.
Oh, yeah, great to be here, guys.
Yeah. Excellent. You know, I want to ask you something. You mentioned your notes. A couple of years ago, I think it was now, you had a really cool little LED light on a ring that you wore. Do you still have that? I haven't seen you use that.
Yeah, well, you know, that was under the days of Speed Channel. That thing was called the Vindicator, as in V-I-N, vindicating the V-I-N. And it was basically it was a pencil camera, a little tiny guy with a wide-angle lens with a built-in light. And it was a great thing in that, unlike those huge shoulder-mounted cameras that the guys, you know, walk around on the block with, which I gave them tremendous props for carrying what's basically a 45-pound sack on your shoulder for 8, 9, 10 hours. But anyway, the Vindicator, the idea there was that we could sort of shine a light right through or against the VIN and show people at home this full-sized image. You know, we just talked a second ago about the 138 prefix on a VIN. And, you know, what does that mean? Well, if you can bring it to life on screen. The downside to the Vindicator was at that point in time, and I think still, the technology required two guys to basically man the side stage stuff and run the cables from my finger over to the location where it went back to the feed. And the downside was the cars are moving and the cables got stomped on by all the folks up on the block. Yeah. So it was discontinued. So that was the Vindicator. We try to do a next best thing where occasionally what I'll do is I'll shine a flashlight, a bright LED light, onto like the cowl tag behind the engine on the firewall, and the cameraman knows that's where he wants to come in and zoom, but I don't try to get real close up. The downside of the Vindicator was if I wasn't holding it totally still, you got the Blair Witch Project effect, wherein it wiggles and jiggles, and people at home, you need to get some Dramamine, you know? So it was a double-edged sword.
Is it kind of like, you know, being in a band or being on stage as an actor where you have techs who know your patterns and your style? Do you kind of, you know, work with the camera guys and so they can learn? Like you know, watch for Steve because he's probably going to do something like this, so we got to be ready for it.
Yeah, it's true. In fact, there's a couple of guys who are the on-stage cameramen. They're a blonde guy with glasses. He's sort of a big guy named Brad. We call him the Ox. He is a rock star because he's pretty automotive, you know, and so he knows if I start to say, well, if we look at the alternator, he'll start running toward the open hood and get to the alternator, and I can point out the pulley or whatever we're talking about. Right. But sometimes, if you really listen to the words, I'll throw leading questions. And I'll say, well, at the left rear corner of the car, and now the cameraman, they have a live feed. They hear what we're saying. They'll start, if they're smart and on the ball, which they mostly are, they'll come running to the left rear corner of the car, and we can point out the gas filler or, you know, cracked lens or date-coded number or whatever it might be. So if you listen with a third ear, you can hear our prompts. But largely it is, you know, it's basically, chess at lightning speed, and everybody's on point, including the camera guys. But Brad, that guy you see usually on stage left, in other words, to the right of your screen sitting home, you'll see him. He's a big, sort of this big burly guy with glasses, and we've missed him. We had him back at Scottsdale, but he was gone for about a year doing sports events, so we missed the heck out of Brad, but I think he's back for the duration, which is good news.
Now, if people were to watch your DVDs that you put out, they'd learn where Dead Cat storage is in a car.
That's right. You get Dead Cat space.
Now, if you want to mention, because I just mentioned those DVDs to Lou the other night, tell us about them and where people can find them, by the way, because they're favorites.
Sure. Well, I've done a lot of writing for magazines and books and stuff, but about, it's been 7 years already. Back in like 2009, 2010, I created a couple of DVDs on how to build altered wheelbase funny cars. And, you know, street-going versions of the old match racers that preceded the flip-top funny cars in 1966. So anyway, but those DVDs are available on my website, stevemags.com. And, just go there. And they're, you know, they're $19.95 each. They're an hour and a half of fun.
Right.
And, yeah, there they are. But again, dead cat space is a Detroit stylist term for any gap. And by the way, I love creatures, love animals, ASPCA. Yes. Please don't come knocking. We love critters. But it's a place where I guess, you know, it must be a wives' tale, but critters would sleep on top of the tire, and if, you know, owner drove off, well, kitty better be running. But it was basically the definition of space between the top of the tire and the fender lip. And, you know, in a slammed car, which looks mean and sinister, there should be no or even negative DCS. Right. That's
space. There was just a picture of it. I'm sorry. Continue. Yeah.
On a gasser, there's a whole bunch of it, you know, so basically the car sits high and proud, but that's the story of dead cat space.
On a gasser, you could put your Coleman cooler up there.
Yeah.
But just a picture in the New York Daily News last week, there was a cat who climbed up under the hood of an SUV, and the people from Manhattan Beach in Brooklyn drove way upstate to go skiing somewhere. It was like a 200-mile trip, and they found the cat up there fine and unscathed. And they
wow,
took the
poor kitty.
Yeah, well, what a ride, you know. I guess he really went for a heck of a trip, yeah. But... Yeah,
you guys, you've ever heard of that book, Manifold Destiny? It's basically a book about cooking on your engine.
Manifold cooking.
Same idea. No cooking cats, thank you, but interesting idea. But wow, what a well-traveled kitty cat that must be.
And I tell you, if people also can scour the hotrod.com archives and find your story on the Hillbilly Hell Shack, which is one of my favorites.
Right. Yeah, that was a real thing. But, you know, I'm now in Massachusetts, and backing up a ways, I was born in New York City, 1964. Mom and Dad moved us to the country of Massachusetts in 67, where I grew up. But in 1991, I decided, hey, I'm going to go to California. So I did. Spent 16 great years in L.A., and much of them in a place on Cherry Lee Drive in El Monte, which was basically two cottages, about a half an acre of land, pretty big spot. And, you know, I basically became sort of a storage spot for my cars, as well as Dave Freiberger from Hot Rod would bring junk out and leave it my property, and a lot of the guys from Carcraft. So it sort of became like the Hillbilly Hell Shack, we called it, where there was an engine in the kitchen, and if there wasn't, you know, oil in the sink, well, something was wrong.
Right. And, yeah, there was like a Hemi or a Ford FE next to the, usually on an engine stand next to the, between the refrigerator and the stove.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
And the sheep, right.
You got to check this out for yourself. Check it out, because there is flocks of sheep that went in and out of the house. But the reason I wanted to tie it in was because there was a lot of cat content, all very positive. You could tell by reading it, Steve definitely is an animal lover. So, you know, I just wanted to make that clear that this is all very above board with the animals.
No animals were harmed in the making of this interview.
Correct. In fact, we often treat our animals better than ourselves.
That's right.
So Steve, what's new... Barrett Jackson aside, what's new at your house in your garage? Because you've had do you still have that Fairmont project?
Yeah, the Fairmont's still going. That of course is the Ford Charger I call it, and it's basically a 4.6 liter It's a Ford Mach 1. Four valve, kind of like the descendant or the grandchild, if you will, of the 427 Camaro from the 60s. Mm. And it's mounted in a 1981 two-door post Fairmont. And so it's kind of a what if the funny car wars never ended, or if they happened in the modern era. Mm-hmm. So anyway, it's an 8-stack Hillborn style fuel injection. The only thing is, I'm not big on electronics, and I had some issues with the previous computer, so it's just waiting for a rewiring, and it should be running this spring. And I should have it in a few magazines, but look for the Ford Charger Fairmont, probably in Hot Rod and Carcraft this spring when it gets running.
Right. That's one of my favorites. I want to definitely follow more of that one. But that's what else is going on in the garage? Any other projects or things that you're playing with, or?
Yeah, you know? Well, you know, hot rodding takes place on many levels. You know, and while Hemis and you know 427 Chevys and 421 Super Duty Pontiacs are cool, I'm a big fan of the Slant 6, and I've got an aluminum block Slant 6 right now. That's at the machine shop. Got a spot over in Ludlow, Mass. Ooh. A little machine shop called Rad, and what they're doing right now, and we're all doing, is preparing this thing for a dyno shootout for Mopar Muscle Magazine. And we're going to basically run an aluminum block Slant 6. And by the way, most people know of the Slant 6 is sort of the automotive equivalent of a grenade. You can't blow it up. It's just a tough, tough, tough engine. Kind of boring, but it's got some race history. But for the most part, they were cast iron. They made millions of them. But 50,000 were done in 61 and 2 with die-cast aluminum blocks. Wow. Little known. But if you find one, it's kind of a rare and unusual critter. So I got a good one, and the plan here is to basically put it on the dyno and run it with a one barrel, a two barrel, and then a couple of four barrel manifolds, including some Australian stuff. And Australia's kind of an interesting place. We all know, of course, Mad Max and these vehicles in that movie that are sort of like, wow, that's familiar. But, well, it's true that Australia is sort of like learning you have a long-lost cousin that you never knew about. A lot of automotive, a lot of V8s down there.
With strange haircuts.
Yeah, strong automotive aftermarket. So so the aluminum slant 6 is going to be running on the dyno about 2 weeks from now, and we're going to give it a good workout.
What's the bottom end going to be like? Are you boring and stroking it? Is it going to be stock displacement? What are you doing?
Well, yeah, the funny thing, slant 6s are a strange engine. There's really not much you can do to gain displacement. You can offset grind the crank and do a lot of weird stuff using 2.2 turbo four-cylinder pistons from the 80s. You can get almost 250 inches out of them, which is only 25. So, and plus, the aluminum engines, the general word is you want to treat it like it's made of glass.
I was going to say, how tough is that? How tough is that bottom end as far as things flexing?
Yeah, it's pretty rugged. The downside, it has freestanding cylinder bores. When you pull the cylinder head off, unlike a normal slant 6 or most any other engine, instead of a flat deck with connected webbing, you get four freestanding bores. Now, the problem is they're not replaceable. They're cast in place, integrally cast. So you got to treat it real sweet. So it'll be an 8/10 effort to get maximum performance out of this thing. Not going to go crazy with it.
What type of RPM are you expecting to run this thing at?
Well, the 225 has a little brother called the 170, which is a bit shorter. That'll go to 7 grand. The 225, because of its inherent torque nature, about 5,500 is the max you want to pull it. It won't go higher.
Okay. Well, that's an excellent I like the idea now with the different carburation and whatnot to see what it'll do. And that's a split. The slant 6 has a split arrangement where the intake and exhaust are separate, correct?
That's correct. Yeah, a lot of engines, the Ford 170 and then 200, they have a manifold that's cast into the head, you know. But the slant 6 is a pretty good little engine, and the reason why it's slanted 30 degrees over to the passenger side is to reduce its overall height.
Right.
That was kind of the prime thing, to get a lower hood line.
They're trying to get it into certain cars,
I remember working on one way back in the 70s, and like, oh, that damn distributor was such a pain in the neck to get the points into.
Yeah, it was just easy to yank the distributor, do what you got to do, and slam it back in.
Exactly.
After you change this plastic gear, that went bad.
Plastic gear. Right.
That is so true. So yeah, that's a very cool project. That's in Rad. I'm sure those guys are up on their stuff. They seem to be well versed in the old language, and I'm sure they're versed in the new stuff as well.
Yeah, in fact, I do a lot of stuff with those guys. If you'll read Mopar Muscle and Carcraft and Hemmings Muscle Machines, you'll see probably 20 stories I've done with those guys in the last 5 years. And funny thing is, to the one of the more recent issues of Hemmings Muscle Machines, we did a Pontiac Overhead Cam 6. You might remember John DeLorean in the 60s was, head of engineering at Pontiac, and he had aspirations for European exotic machining and equipment, and so he came up with the Overhead Cam 6. It was called the Sprint. Well, there was one version of that with a four barrel and a split manifold.
I had one.
So we got one, rebuilt it for the story, and then dynoed it, and we made 216 horsepower on a 215 horsepower claim. So 1 horsepower more.
Right. Steve, I have to say that our friend Gerard, who's sitting across from me, back in the day, did own a slant 6 with the... it was a quarterjet on that engine, right? Yeah.
Yeah, the old OHC 6,
In a Tempest with a 4-speed. That was the car we were putting a clutch in the snow back
in the
70s.
Really, with that really cool stamped valve cover with the ribs in it. It looked very European right from the get-go when you popped the hood.
Right.
Yeah, that was the thing. And the funny thing, a lot of folks think that that's the Chevy 230 with just an exotic head, but it's a lot of different stuff. In fact, the Overhead Cam Pontiac 6 was the only Pontiac engine, including GTOs and everything, with a forged connecting rod in the 1960s. Everything else was the cast Armisteel, which was fine.
Right.
But, that Overhead Cam 6 is a pretty exotic engine. Yeah. And if you look inside, you can see where there are provisions for cross-bolted main caps.
Yes.
But they were never utilized. So it had...
Cool.
Yeah, they had plans for that thing.
So they were seeing the LS way before it came to fruition.
GM leading the way.
That is cool. That's excellent. Yeah,
that was actually the first motor I ever worked on.
Is it?
That thing sat in the driveway. I forget what it snapped. And my dad said, if you could get it to run, you could have the car.
Oh.
And the rest is history.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, no, that was pretty strange because you used to ask for parts for that thing, and people were like, this ain't no Chevy motor. I'm like, no, it's not.
Right.
I spent a lot of time with the shop manual on that thing trying
to get... That was as bad as when I had my big block Chevy, the 402, and I'd go in and say I need parts for a 402, and they'd want to give me small block parts for a 400. I'm like, no, it's not a 400. It's a 402. You know, and they didn't like the 396. Okay, just give me the valve covers, the big ones.
Yeah, it is. That's a weird one. You know, I guess, what, late 69, early 70, when the 396 became the 402, you know, I guess SS-402 didn't have the same ring as SS-396. So they never did change emblems. Yes, well, you know, the world of automotive history and the muscle car, just all kinds of interesting little footnotes like that one, and I love them.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the stuff that kind of like that really makes the clock tick and the world go around when you get into it. So, yeah, it's very interesting historically. So that's... cool shoes, just cool stuff. So, what else, Gerard? You got any questions for Steve? This is your chance of a lifetime.
Nah. Oh, do you still have that old?
Until the next time.
The next time.
Yeah. Do you still have that old Chrysler with the six, the slant six? You did the, I guess, the Super Six, the two barrel setup?
Yeah, there's been a bunch rolled through my garage, but presently I've got a 63 Dodge Dart with the slant six, and this is the one that will get that aluminum block slant six once it's running.
Right.
But yeah, I've probably had about, 20 of them. You know, you look back on it. In fact, the most recent issue of Mopar Muscle magazine, which just left newsstands probably the last few days, because, you know, the thing with magazines, they're monthlies and they go away after 4 weeks, so you got to grab them while they're out there. But I did a story on a roundup of all the Mopars I've owned, and I remember back in 1987, my grandma passed away, left me a modest inheritance, but my dad says, "You put that in the bank and you'll leave it there." "Yes, sir, Dad." Well, I bought a 68 Hemi Charger, and I paid $10,000 for it, which was basically the inheritance. My dad would have killed me. But, you know, I bought it for 10, had it for 3 years, sold it for $16,000. So, you know, my dad saw that and realized, well, he thought it was a one-shot deal. But with that said, you know, we all know that if you play your cards right, you can do okay with hot rods. But I guess that was about the only time I actually made money on a hot rod. And the bottom line is, most of us hot rodders realize if we get half our money back, we're doing good. And it's seed money for the next project. It's the fun and the passion of it that's mostly behind what we do, right?
Steve, yes, you're right. If I remember, your dad was a teacher, correct?
Well, he was, yeah. Physics professor.
College professor, right.
Yeah, he went to NYU and then MIT and stuff. But his thing was optical physics, and I don't really know what that means. But
optics, yeah.
That's pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, pretty lazy.
Sounds heavy duty.
Yeah, definitely. That's cool stuff.
Yeah,
you never know where the acorn's going to fall, how it's going to manifest itself into a little oak tree we call our children. So, you know, it's...
Yeah, it is. So true. My brother's an eye surgeon in Indiana. My mom was a graphic artist. My grandfather, Charles Mignanti, was an accordionist for NBC and you know, Lawrence Welk and stuff like that. So it's kind of fun. But I'm not music at all. I love music.
But maybe he gave you the TV gene.
It could be. He had a performer gene or whatever you want to call it. Yeah,
right.
Yes. You know, I did take acting class. When I moved to L.A. in 1991, my mission was to either act, you know, or write for Hot Rod Magazine. And the magazine thing happened, but while I was on my way toward that, I did take some classes, and I had an acting class in Studio City with a guy named David LeGrant, who was formerly Sandy Duncan's personal trainer, I guess. Yeah, and then, but Tobey Maguire was in the class, of course, later went on to Spider-Man. Allison Hannigan, who the girl from Bandcamp in those American Pie movies, and of course, sadly, Brittany Murphy, who, you know, passed away. She was in the class as well. And of course, there was me and a bunch of other anonymous kids studying the craft. But they say the acting is the easiest thing in the world to do. Just don't get caught doing it. You know?
Yeah.
And my problem was either remembering the script perfectly or delivering it like me, but those two things rarely happen. So I just I wash my hands of it.
Yeah, I have a lot of respect for people who can read, you know, memorize lines, big scripts. I can't do that. If I can't ad lib it, forget it. I'm not doing it.
Yeah, we hold cards up for each other all the time.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
Like
we're on the radio.
What was my name again? Oh yeah, Ray. I forgot.
What is your name, Bob?
You know what I found is, you know, talking about cars with you guys too comes naturally, no script required. So so the training was certainly worthwhile. You know, got you away from thinking about yourself and, oh, there's 40 million people watching this today. You know, whatever. But you ignore it. They're your friends. You just do your thing, and the car is what you're talking about. It's actually pretty easy. But yeah, a Shakespearean soliloquy or something like that ain't going to happen.
No.
Not with me.
Steve, before we close out, tell us about. I don't know if it really got off the ground, but your Steve, I forgot what you called it now. Steve's muscle car. Yeah, college?
The Junkyard Crawl. Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Well, Muscle Car School, sure. Yeah, it's a thing where, you know, well, Muscle Car School is what it's called, and we did a nice plug back in Scottsdale a couple of weeks ago, and it's basically an opportunity for me and anybody who wants to come see the show to hang out for about 2 hours, and I do a slideshow presentation kind of behind the scenes at Barrett-Jackson. It's actually a PowerPoint, digital. But I show pictures of things that you won't see, you know, on camera and on TV, and then it's followed up with question and answers and also sort of a trivia, Stump Steve, which I'm always, I always get stumped, but I go down fighting, and I give
like
away,
quiz,
you know,
Quiz the Squiz.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, so that's something I'm sort of launching, and I've done a few of them so far. I had 73 attendees last Friday night, and nice. Yeah, when I have time, usually right after the auctions when the iron's hot and people want to discuss what happened. It's a lot of fun, and again, it's an opportunity for people who watch the show to come out and talk cars with me for a couple hours on a Wednesday or a Thursday night.
Excellent. That's great. Steve, please give our listeners any information you would like to pass along about how they can find out what you're up to, or if they can get in contact with you, tell them how to do that, please.
Sure, yeah. Well, just go to stevemags.com, my website, which has a blog and just background and interesting stuff. I put stories up and previews every once in a while. And, yeah, happy to talk with people. And, of course, tune in to Barrett-Jackson. That will be in Mohican Sun in Connecticut, Uncasville, Connecticut, in June.
Oh.
And so, yeah, it's
this side
thing,
of the country.
Of Yeah, for the first time. You know, Northeast so far has not been served by Barrett-Jackson till last spring.
Right.
And the funny thing is, as you may recall, they were expecting 40,000 people. They got 70,000. The fire marshal actually shut it down on Thursday afternoon because the people density was too high. So coming back next this June coming up, we'll be in Mohican Sun, Uncasville, Connecticut one more time. Come on out and visit us.
Excellent.
Oh, we'd love to see it. Yeah, by the way, just want to say our ear in the sky, Jim Listello, likes to thank you for your work on Barrett-Jackson. He thinks the camera work you guys do is great, and he looks forward to every time you guys are on and really thinks very highly of it, which I think is an opinion a lot of my car guy friends I'm seeing come across Facebook here to share.
As do we all, yes.
So keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Yeah, we're all pistons in the same engine is what I like to say.
You got it.
I'm more of the crank myself.
Yeah, well, all right. Steve, we thank you very much, and I will bother you again to come back, and we'll get you in. We love
you're
going to
get nagged.
Yeah.
That's it.
We keep you. Right. Until you change your email address, you'll be hearing from me. Don't worry about that.
All right. Well, happy to come back anytime, guys, and thank you for doing what you do.
Thank you, Steve. We appreciate
it. Much appreciated.
All right. Bye-bye, Steve.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
That was Steve Magnante, of course.
That was fun.
Yes.
That was fun,
Steve
actually.
Steve is always a great guest.
Yes, having our own personal contact with one of the Barrett-Jackson voices, that's pretty that's pretty cool.
I could sit and just, you know, talk to Steve for hours. He's one of those guys, you know, like just, that was a tsunami, I think, that, you know, you just could sit and just BS and
I'm
talk.
I'm glad it was that end, at least.
Exactly. and of course, all his great work, and check out his website. You'll see a lot of cool stuff.
He's got the blog going there. I just kind of tuned into it over here real quick. He's got the Junkyard Crawl.
Yeah.
We got all kinds of stuff. He's got his cars on here.
That's what he was doing in Hot Rod Magazine. It was a Junkyard Crawl where there was a section, a one-page section or a two-page sometimes, and he would just go in and find cars that were derelict. Is that flashing again, Rod?
It flashed.
Yeah, it did. Well, then, let's answer that. We'll go to the phones and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, good afternoon. I'm glad to see that WHPC finally has an animal program on.
Oh, you like that, huh?
I have a question about my cat.
What's up, Tom?
Oh, hey, I enjoyed this segment today tremendously. Steve was a fantastic guest.
He certainly
you guys
is.
Had some great questions and good. Thank you very much. I think I wasted 2 gallons of gas driving around listening to your program, but thank you for doing what you do.
Tom, you can park and put the car, you know, turn the key off and still listen to the radio. It works that way, you know.
Well, it depends on what he has. Worse, bad gas mileage or bad battery.
True.
You know that. It's a whole new perspective. Yes, maybe I could do that.
Yeah, right. Point well taken.
Have a great day, guys.
Thanks, Tom.
We appreciate the approval there.
That was great, yeah. Well, that's why, it's like I told Steve, I know that guys love to hear these people talk from a venue other than TV. Same thing with Lou Santiago. You know, I do that show with him, and they come there for Lou. You know, when he's not there, It's like, all right, people aren't hanging around. They don't want to see me. They don't want to see, you know, they want to see Lou because he's got the face and he's got the cred. So
yes.
it's a powerful thing when you can interact with an audience like that. Guys like Lou and Steve definitely have that attraction.
Right.
And I'm just happy being on it, you know, taking it on this end of it, you know, just being able to get them in our venue.
They just don't know you well enough, right?
No, they don't. They don't.
That's, you're a magnetic personality. You have your own polarity and everything. Oh. And yes, you want like, maybe you want to take that paperclip off your forehead now?
Okay, thanks.
Okay.
I just thought that was something interesting. Yeah.
Zing.
Yeah, gazing, gazing.
It's pretty fun. You got to see when we take the metal filings.
Oh yeah.
Remember, what was that game when we were kids? They used to put it on. You know, used to make the guy's hair change and everything with the metal. Yeah, you're pretty good like that.
Yeah, yeah. We try. We do an electromagnetic induction lab like that, where you play with iron filings and make them swirl around.
Cool. I know. He kept asking me to stick my finger in, and I'm like, not doing it.
No.
I know you better than that, Ray.
Yeah. Well, that's a great way when I clean up after I work in the garage or whatever. I've been doing drilling and tapping and different and cutting. I have a big shop magnet, and I'll just pass it around on the floor and just pick up all the filings instead of using a brush. Just use the magnet and then release it into the garbage.
Some of the cars I own, I can't do that because either A, they're so small the entire car comes up, or the quarter panel comes off. So I got to be careful with magnets.
And we know the Corvette guys have another line of problems too. So
yeah, they're still scratching their heads about that one.
Yes. So Gerard, what's coming up besides finding a Goldwing contact today? What's coming up for you in the garages of Pennsylvania?
Nothing. Just rebuilding the bikes. And
how about lie to us and tell us something that sounds good so people will say, wow, that guy has it going on. Make something up.
I don't know. Bike restoration sounds pretty cool to me.
It's like car restoration, like I said, just a little smaller. And it's the same problem, same pitfalls that we face.
Oh, yeah. Still broken bolts and
yeah, fuel systems that are crappy and
finding parts.
Pulled out wires and
exactly
trying to figure out where that wire went.
Right.
Well, that's always fun.
We were trying to diagnose a starter problem on one of his Goldwings last night. Johnny and I were trying to, and it came to the point of like, run a separate wire. And then it was like, you know what? We need to see a schematic.
Yep.
It was like, well, we can't do anything here.
That's true. At that point, you trying to diagnose electrical stuff on the fly without knowing what it is you're probing.
Yeah, when the bike is in Pennsylvania and we're in a den in Long Island, it's a little tough.
Yeah, because let's put it this way, it's a good way to start a good fireworks show.
Yes.
I've seen guys do it. That's right, usually right before they call me in.
Right.
And you come there and you smell that smell.
Yeah.
Of like, you know, I guess I shouldn't have grounded that wire.
Oh, you know, when I walked, we were at Mike's shop yesterday working on a Chevelle. I walked past one of the guys was doing some cutting and then welding in the trunk. And just that smell of GM metal being welded on, it was like, wow. It's like one of the things that comes right back to you. Like, oh, I remember that. I just smelled that smell not too long ago in my own garage.
Yes.
You know, cool stuff.
It does have its own particular odor, doesn't it?
It definitely does. It definitely does. And it kind of, the dust sticks in your throat and you're like, eh.
Yeah. As long as you don't have to call the fire department, you're all right.
And there's a fire department right next door, so they're...
Yeah, not bad, yes. Because let's face it, if you don't have to dial any, you know, 911 for anything, I figure there's no casualties, it was a good day.
Right.
Or if you don't have to take a loan out to fix what you just did.
Right. So I can't see the clock, but I know we're getting close to the end of the show. Next
we're coming
week,
right in, yeah.
We don't have a scheduled guest as of yet, but you know how that changes.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you never know what's going to fall out of the sky. You never know who's actually going to say... Well, then again, you know, I got that bag that we slip over people's heads.
Yeah, and we you have the minivan, so it's easy.
We're stalkers, you know. So watch out; you never know when you're going to end up on this show.
But I'm sure we'll get something in. We'll do something soon. So, Kim, how much time do we have here? I lost the clock. Oh, there. Oh, thank you. There's clocks all over this board in different places, and I never see.
And
them
they all tell different times.
And it's all right. So it is time to go. We're gonna wrap this up. And I guess, let's see, this is... No, we're going to do this one right here. And I guess we're going to end with a little untraditional song. For Joe D., Ray Guarino, Motormouth Radio, Gerard, thanks for coming in.
No problem.
Have a real good time. We'll see you next week on Motormouth Radio. And the